Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson. And Chuck, President Obama this week gave his last State of the Union address, and leading Montana Republicans were quick to denounce it. Montana Democratic leaders were pretty silent about the president's message.
Yeah, that's right, Sally. Senator Steve Daines and Representative Ryan Zinke both blasted the speech in pretty highfalutin negative rhetoric, and Senator John Tester, the lone Democrat in the delegation, basically just said, well, the president's laid out his priorities, and it's now it's time for Congress to outline ours and get to work fixing the problems that have been facing Washington. That was about it from him. So it was not unexpected. In Montana, President Obama has low job approval ratings. The MSU Billings poll in November showed he had about a 28% positive approval and about a 67% negative approval. So I don't think Democrats are necessarily taking their lead from him, even though they agree with him on a lot of things. And certainly Republicans find him a pretty easy target to go after.
Well, here's part of what Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke had to say about the president's speech. He said, quote, "The president and his allies speak of gun owners as if we are criminals. However, the person in the House chamber tonight who has broken the law is Barack Obama." And Chuck, gun control is an issue Congressman Zinke knows will rankle many Montanans.
Absolutely. And again, that MSU Billings poll showed about two-thirds of Montanans said that the current gun laws in Montana are about right, and only 17% said they aren't. So it's pretty easy for people that want to criticize proposals to toughen gun control laws to speak out, although, of course, nationally, there's quite a bit of support for doing it, toughening the laws.
I'd maybe just jump in and say there are two issues here. I think there's the issue of what to do about guns. President Obama has taken some executive action on that. And so Montanans might like or not like what exactly it is in terms of policy. But there's also the procedural bit, that this does come as an executive action. And that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, too. Frequently, these things fall out depending on who the president is, right? If it's a Democratic president, Republicans don't like it. If it's a Republican president, Democrats don't like it. But there is a larger issue here, and that is this an appropriate thing for the president to be doing? And I think from a more theoretical standpoint, philosophical standpoint, this is something that is worth thinking about from not just a partisan ideological angle. Because once a president takes these executive actions into new areas, it opens up the door for the next president to do the same thing. So people
Which
they do, absolutely. And so people who are cheering Obama's executive actions on guns might want to think about the possibility that a president, say, Cruz or President Rubio might not only reverse these measures, but go farther in the other direction.
This is a case of whose ox is being gored, right, by this
right.
action. Rob, the other issue the president is pushing that has Montanans on both sides of the aisle worried is climate change, and specifically his order to cut carbon emissions. Montana's carbon emissions cut could shutter coal plants at Colstrip. And the president has now also put a moratorium on issuing new coal leases on federal lands. Is this likely to be a campaign issue in either Montana's gubernatorial or congressional race?
Well, I think Republicans would love it to be a campaign issue. I mean, first, to just look at what Montana is being asked to do. The EPA is requiring Montana to reduce carbon emissions by 47%. That is a lot.
By
we have
2030.
Right. We do have a long time to do that, but nonetheless, that's a pretty big number. Steve Bullock has called it unfair. He's supporting a lawsuit from Tim Fox challenging that. So that's the backdrop. One of the things, just looking at it politically, that Republicans love about this issue is that it makes the Democrats squirm a little bit. It creates a real tension within the Democratic Party in Montana, one that is not new, and you can see nationally it was a big deal in the Midwest in recent decades. But it splits two of the big constituencies of the Democratic Party. The union types are very concerned about these things, very supportive of Colstrip. The environmentalists, on the other hand, are taking the opposite position. And you see this very clearly with Bullock's recent announcement of what he's calling the Interim Clean Power Plan Advisory Council. And the people he put on this council, 17 of the 27 have ties to the fossil fuel industry or the utility industry. And this was a major disappointment for environmentalists. The union-oriented Democrats love it, but the environmentalists don't. So this is an issue that's tailor-made for Republicans. It's one that Republicans are unified on, and it creates some real problems for Democrats.
In the U.S. House race, Democrat Denise Juneau is bragging about raising over $260,000 in the first 2 months of her campaign, and that is worth bragging about, Rob, but that's still far below the war chest her Republican opponent Ryan Zinke has already raised and is likely to raise.
Yeah, that's right, Sally. I think sometimes we can overdo the importance of money in these very high-profile campaigns, and it's yet to be seen whether this will turn into a high-profile campaign, but I think it has all the markings of something that could. And what I look for in those kinds of campaigns is, do the two candidates have enough money to get their message out? Frequently, think back to Tester and Rieberg from 4 years ago. We were so saturated with ads. Whether one candidate had 100,000 more or less, it didn't really matter at some point. And so the key issue for Juneau is, can she raise enough to be competitive? She doesn't have to match Ryan Zinke dollar for dollar, but she does need enough money to be competitive, get her message out. And over the first 2 months, her haul, I think, is impressive. It certainly puts her in a position to make the case that she'll be able to launch, mount a credible campaign against Zinke.
Yeah, I was just looking at the FEC numbers, and just by comparison, Ryan Zinke had raised $447,000 in his first quarter when he ran for Congress in the last cycle, in the 2014 cycle. So, the interesting thing too, the House race will draw some third party money, but not nearly as much as we'll see coming into the governor's race or as we've seen come into the Senate races. It will be interesting to see what kind of priority the National Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee places on this race and if they give her some help. And likewise, if the Republicans provide much help to Ryan Zinke or whether they think he doesn't need it. So they'll each do fine raising money, I think, but the outside money can make a difference too.
And Chuck, this week was the first day that candidates could file for office in Montana. And then, of course, they have until March 14th to do that. But a lot of them do file that first day. And both parties hold news conferences to announce their optimism about victory and to take shots at the other side.
That's right. They sort of stake out the issues, and the candidates tend to run on these issues along with any local issues. And needless to say, the Democrats were hitting the Republicans hard over the failure to pass an infrastructure bill this last session. And it's a good issue for Democrats, although we might point out that an infrastructure bill failed to pass 2 years before that in the 2013 legislature. One passed the legislature and Steve Bullock vetoed it, saying the budget couldn't afford it. He needed to keep a certain balance, and that wasn't going to be the case. The Republicans, on the other hand, were saying, we need a Republican legislature back in power and hopefully a Republican governor to cut taxes. The governor, Steve Bullock, vetoed several tax-cutting bills by Republicans in the 2015 session. But in fairness, it's important to note that Bullock had his own tax-cutting bill in the 2013 session, which would have cut taxes by $400 for every homeowner in the state. It was identical to the proposal that Governor Schweitzer got passed in 2007, and Republicans killed the bill. So there's plenty of wiggle room on both sides. But I think it should be a pretty competitive race. You know, the Democrats actually gained seats in the legislature last go-round, and they were one of four or five states to show gains in their legislative races. The Democrats here picked up two seats. The margin right now is pretty decisively Republican, but, you know, the way you get back control of the legislature is you pick up a couple here, you pick up a couple there, and it takes two or three election cycles to do it. In the Senate, we have 50 members and half are up at any election. Now, by my tally, Republicans start out with 16 holdover senators. They were elected to four-year terms in 2014, and they're not on the ballot this year, while Democrats have 9. So Republicans start out with a bit of an advantage there. The House, all 100 are up, so it's a crapshoot every year, but Republicans have a lead there, and it'll be interesting to see if Democrats can narrow that lead or even take it over, right? Taking it over is probably a stretch, but they could narrow it some.
Rob, the national presidential race continues to get all the attention these days, but once these candidates have filed and as they continue to file, get out there and start campaigning in the state, those state races will start to get the voters' attention.
Yeah, I think so. We're just a couple weeks away now from votes being cast in Iowa, New Hampshire right after that. And so the national presidential race is getting a lot of attention. But we have to remember we're still in the very, very early stages here in Montana. The presumptive Republican nominee for governor hasn't even filed his official paperwork yet. So
Greg Gianforte.
Exactly. So I think here in the next month or so, things will start to ramp up. We'll probably start to see some television ads come out and people hitting the campaign trail.
Can't wait for those ads. You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson. Guys, talk to you again next week.
We'll talk to you then. Thanks, Sally.